Welcome to Courage Cocktail. Jan Turnquist is sitting on the line with me. She is the executive director of the Louisa May Alcott Orchard House in Concord, Massachusetts. Well, Jan, thank you for joining us for Courage Cocktail. It's great you're with us.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Thank you, Leanne.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the space that you take care of and are working to preserve.
Louisa May Alcott's Orchard House is magic, in my humble opinion. I did not grow up in Concord, Massachusetts. I grew up far from it and moved here many years ago and discovered for the first time the existence of this home that had actually been built in the 1600s. It was very, very old at the time of the Alcotts. But it is famous today because Louisa May Alcott wrote and set Little Women in this home. They also lived most of that story. The story is very autobiographical. Of course, it is fiction. Louisa changed the names. The four names that people know so well if they're familiar with Little Women would be Meg, Jo, Beth, and Amy. In reality, the sisters upon whom those characters were based were Anna, Louisa, Beth, and May. So you can sort of see a little wordplay there if you focus on the youngest sister, because May actually was her middle name. She was Abigail May, but she liked to go by her middle name. May becomes Amy in Little Women, and they're the same letters. You just trade those letters around. Louisa had a knack for having fun occasionally like that, and I've always enjoyed her sense of humor. I think it's one of the best-kept secrets about Louisa May Alcott, because people make the assumption, oh, she was a spinster, she lived in the Victorian era, she was stuffy. She was not. She was ahead of her time, she was brave, she was bold, and she was funny.
Can you describe in details about this particular home called Louisa May Alcott's Orchard House? Where is Concord?
Concord is about 16 miles northwest of Boston. That would be 16 miles as the crow flies. If you're driving it, it's more like 24 miles. So it's really very close to Boston. There was a train that ran from Boston right out to Concord in the era of the Alcotts. Louisa frequently took that train into Boston. One day she missed the last train and walked in. And that was quite a walk, but she walked all the time and was very efficient and went to a party that night. So she was quite proud of that. The home itself stands on the main road that leads you into Concord. It's called the Lexington Road. In New England, virtually any place you go, if it has a name like Lexington Road, it means that it will lead you to that town. So when you're in Concord, if you go out Lexington Road, you're going to go to the town of Lexington, which is very nearby. Most people know Lexington and Concord, Massachusetts, as the birthplace of the American Revolution. And that was absolutely true. The Redcoats marched out from Boston looking for supplies in the Revolutionary era. The Alcotts were quite proud of the fact that their home had been standing there when the Redcoats marched right past the front door of that home. In fact, a Minuteman lived in the house at that time and went off to fight at the North Bridge. The Alcotts were very aware of the history, very proud of it. So when you walk past the Orchard House or drive past the Orchard House, you will notice it as being very humble, brown. It's set back from the road a little bit. It is completely unassuming. But it would have been quite a fancy house in the 1600s. You'd have to assume a very wealthy person built that house then, because it looks grand for that era, 1600s.
The reason it's called Orchard House, are there orchards?
In the era of the Alcotts, there were apple trees on the grounds, and Bronson Alcott loved gardening, loved growing things, and named his home for the orchards that surrounded the home. But apple trees do have a lifespan, and the actual apple trees that were there then were not new. They had been there already. So those trees have actually died. But we are currently in the process of working to restore as much of the apple orchard as we can. We do not currently own nearly the amount of land that Bronson Alcott acquired when he purchased Orchard House. He had 12 acres of land, and we have really a little over two.
What did he do that allowed him this wealth?
Well, Bronson Alcott was not wealthy at all. The original builder of this home, which was not then called Orchard House, in the 1600s, it didn't have that name. Bronson Alcott acquired the house when it was old, decrepit, it was in horrible condition. The Alcotts were poor. People thought that the house would be torn down because it was in such dreadful condition. One of Mrs. Alcott's friends said, "That house is fit for firewood," and that's really what a lot of people thought. But because they couldn't afford to tear it down and build a new house, Bronson Alcott set about making it livable for his family, and he took a lot of outbuildings and attached them to the back of the house. The original house, although it was lovely and grand, it was not huge. The original house, built in the 1600s, had two rooms below and two rooms right above it, and that was a very typical New England-style home. The kitchen would be a separate building in the back, because if you had a fire in your kitchen, you didn't want to burn down your entire house. By the Victorian era, people were attaching them. They had better means, I guess, of protecting themselves, and they didn't use open fireplaces. By this time, they had cook stoves, the big old cast iron stoves. So things were safer, and they could have a kitchen directly on the house. And that was one of the things that Bronson Alcott wanted to do for his family. He took a tenant house, which also dates from the 1600s. It had no floor. It was just wood coming right down to dirt. And so it was easy to move. And he lined a slight incline, a very slight hill that was behind the house, with logs.
Oh.
And then lifted that home and rolled that little tenant house, I should say, and rolled it down the hill to attach to the main home. And that now is the kitchen. It was the kitchen then, and it still is. The house has almost no changes whatsoever from the time of the Alcotts. In fact, most of the items in the home were actually their items, not replicas, not of the period, but actually their items. So it's really exactly as he put it together, but it took a lot of work and a lot of time to make it livable.
When you think about that piece of history, this is a rare example of things not changing, things remaining intact. How did that happen?
Well, when Louisa May Alcott published Little Women, it was immediately extremely popular. It was one of the very first realistic books for children. Books for girls, especially in that era, were more or less model children, perfect children, and they were intended to show children how they should behave. Little Women told the story of what the girls were really like, and this was refreshing to people. Some people didn't approve. Some people thought that Josephine March in Little Women was too independent and not proper. And, of course, they didn't know that she was based upon Louisa May Alcott herself. And Louisa would later say, "I didn't make her half bad enough." But this was encouraging to girls to see real life examples of what they felt and what their friends felt. And that was encouraging. The book sold so well that almost right away, while Louisa was still living in the house, people were coming up the walkway. They wanted to see the house. They wanted the autograph of the author. So Louisa became very, very famous in her own time period. And her relatives, her two nephews, who really inherited everything, knew that this was precious to people, and they didn't discard anything. They really kept pretty much everything. And when the home became a museum, they were still alive, and they brought things back.
Really? When did it become a museum, Jan?
It was one of the very first house museums in the country. It officially became a museum in 1912. It was unofficially being shown already in 1911. The Louisa May Alcott Memorial Association was formed by a group of really intrepid women in 1911. These were women who didn't have the vote, didn't have the legal power to start something like this. They had to enlist the help of their husbands, but they formed this association in 1911 for the purpose of saving the home because it was slated for destruction then. It was old and in terrible condition when the Alcotts got it. Even though Bronson Alcott made it livable, he didn't do the structure any favors. The house was literally sinking unevenly into the ground because he wanted the ceilings to be higher, but he did it by lowering the floor. So in effect, he created a dishpan under the house. He also had all those outbuildings, as I was mentioning before, attached in various places. There was a stone foundation under the front two rooms that had been built in the 1600s and no foundation, not even a slab, just wood on dirt everywhere else. So when you move buildings, when you put something together, after a while the dirt settles and that starts to, you know, go in one direction. But if something else isn't settling, like the stone foundation part that was there from the beginning, that's not settling and you have things pulling away, and it was really in terrible shape. And no one thought that it should be saved except the people who loved Little Women. People who thought of it as a home, oh, I'm going to sell this and somebody's going to live in it. Absolutely not. Not thought about at all. They did have it up for sale, but they thought, in fact, the prospectus said, perfect site for a new mansion. So the idea was tear it down and you can build yourself something great because this is a really wonderful location right on the Lexington Road.